Let's see. Testing. Say something.
Hi, this is Brandon Burkhart.
No, it's
I'm
not.
On Comedy Death Star.
No, you're not.
No copyright infringement intended by the logo.
All right. So we'll talk about all those things you want to talk about. All right, this looks fine. Ready to start the show?
Yeah, let me make sure this is off.
Yeah, turn the damn phone off. I know how popular you are.
And people texting in movies come in with a bright screen. I want to smack the phones out of their hands. There's a lot of that going on.
All right, hello, everybody, and welcome to Comedy Death Star, the podcast that digs into the dark side of comedy. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Our guest this week is Moth Story Grand Slam winner twice this year and the best year.
No,
that's not
no,
true.
No,
is your name
people
Brandon Burkhart?
Yes,
that's okay. His name is Brandon Burkhart, but
I've won three story slams,
three,
one grand slam, and I came in second place my last grand slam. But I mean, you maybe thought it was a win because it was, you know, I was so excited about how it went, but only one extra Grand Slam victory. I've been in three Grand Slams, so I'm one and two. I'm like LeBron James in the finals. I still need to get my record.
Slam.
Yeah,
but in terms of just regular slams, you've won that.
Yeah,
time.
So it's four slams total, and one is a grand slam.
Okay. All right. Well, since I don't understand what the difference is and any of those things mean, you're here.
Sure.
That's good.
Yes.
We're going to hear more about Brandon and his lack of accomplishments in a moment.
Just getting here was a victory.
First, a message from our corporate overlords. Comedy Death Star is a production of Actors Comedy Studio and acsdigital.tv. I'm Denzel Myers. Our guest today is Moth Story Slam winner, some of them grand, Brandon Burkhart. Hello, sir.
Hi, Denzel.
So it was a challenge for you to get here today?
Yeah, because people don't go with the flow of traffic. There's like, I was driving down a two-lane street for most of the way, Beverly Boulevard, and both lanes were people that were leaving giant gaps between them and the car in front of them, and I just wanted to like get around them, but then I would have killed somebody. But I'm here.
So you're going to blame other people.
Yes. It's my fault for going to the gym this morning. If I just ignored my need to have physical fitness, I could have come straight here. But I thought I have time to go to the gym, and I didn't. Well, I could have come straight from the gym, too. I stopped at home and took a shower, which you can't smell me through the podcast. I mean, you would have smelled me personally.
Hang on. Aside from being the storyteller guy, you also write comedy.
Yes.
You're a comedian.
Sort of speak, yes. I don't perform stand-up traditionally, but I'm a comedy writer and I'm a funny storyteller.
Okay.
People call me comedian.
You got up early, you went to the gym, you took a shower. That doesn't sound like comedian to me.
I'm trying to break the paradigm and be a trailblazer.
This is why you're not
grooming.
Successful.
I'm groomed too much.
This is why you're not successful as a comedian.
Yeah.
Personal hygiene.
And the other day, a friend of mine said, I don't know how you're even in entertainment because you're not an alcoholic. Everyone I know who does anything creative is an alcoholic, so I'm a failure in that respect, too.
Are you depressed?
No.
Anxious?
No.
Bipolar?
I wish. I'm jealous that everyone's on medication, but me. I feel like
you don't have any medication.
I feel like the only person in L.A., I feel like it's like I Am Legend, but instead of being the last human, I'm the last human that's not on medication, on prescription drugs.
Now you're creeping me out, man.
Everyone's on anti-anxiety or sleeping, but I sleep like a baby whenever I want to, and I'm not that anxious, and I'm doing something wrong.
You have no place on this show.
I don't.
I didn't realize all this stuff was true about you. This show is about the dark side of comedy. You're bringing no darkness.
The other day someone said that she believed everyone needs to be in therapy. I'm like, no, I'm fine. But maybe that's my delusion.
Maybe you're in denial or delusion.
Yeah. I need to go to Denials Anonymous.
Wait, what is that? Denials Anonymous? Well, you can't tell anybody anyway about the anonymous part.
Yeah, I would deny. You
can't even tell yourself that you're going.
If you ask someone, where's the next meeting? They wouldn't even tell you where it was.
Know.
It's the what meeting. There's no group.
They can't admit to themselves that they know.
So maybe I am the member of Denial Anonymous, but I'm just not telling you.
All right, well, this is actually my first question, which is about you, because I don't really know a lot about you personally.
I don't either. Maybe because I haven't been in therapy enough. I've been to paradise, Denzel, but I've never been to me. Okay, so what do you want?
Did you just make that up?
No, it's a 70s song, I think. I just dated myself. What do you want? What do you want to know?
What do I want to know?
There's so much to plumb in the depths. Deep well.
Yeah, I don't know. Are you vegan or not? Do you have a boyfriend or girlfriend?
I have a vegan boyfriend. Someone the other day, like, yeah, because people, I do have specific things as far as I'm lactose intolerant. That's my big share.
Okay, and now we're getting into the dark underbelly.
But see, that confuses people, especially in LA, because they have all their special hipster food allergies. So when I say I'm lactose intolerant, they're like, "Oh, okay, so you're celiac." I'm like, "No, so you're gluten free." I'm like, "No, I love gluten." And the other day, I brought vegetables to a potluck, and they said, "Oh, so you're a veggie." I'm like, "No, everyone else is bringing meat. I was trying to mix it up. Like, someone's got to bring something green."
So you're lactose intolerant.
Yes, but I was lactose intolerant before it became a thing. I was just a kid with a bad stomach for years.
So you're a milk racist.
I am.
Racist against milk.
I would tolerate milk if I was more open-minded.
You're not tolerant. You're intolerant.
Well, milk comes to this country and takes jobs from hardworking Americans if it doesn't pay its taxes.
Hardworking soybeans and almonds.
But I suffered greatly until I was a senior in high school when there was an article about lactose intolerance that my mother read and said, "Why don't you skip dairy for a day?" And then I didn't have my crippling stomach aches. But I grew up in a time when all they offered at the school cafeteria was milk and chocolate milk. Those were your two choices, and not even water or juice.
No.
So every day I just had a crippling stomach ache after lunch, and I didn't know why. I just thought I was broken.
See,
and I am.
When I was a baby, I mean, and I am kind of also lactose intolerant, maybe not as much.
Stop trying to jump on the bandwagon,
not
Denzel.
As much as you are.
You weren't until I came in this room.
No. I was, because when I was
have a milk drinking contest. Yes,
it was earlier than you. I'm older than you are, and it was in the 60s, mm-hmm. and it was a time when doctors were telling mothers that breastfeeding was not good.
Oh,
it was not healthy.
Oh, that's a terrible.
And
term.
Not safe, which is preposterous.
Because it only worked for like 2 million years before then.
Yeah, exactly. And so they would say, "Look, you have to give your kid cow's milk instead of breast milk. It's much better."
Oh,
and
my God.
I was a very happy baby, but I would drink the milk and then I would throw up immediately. And so part of my own story about being damaged as a kid is, you know, my mom would feed me and then she would sit me naked in a cold bathtub so that I could throw up on myself. And then she would just hose me down. And
wow.
I just think I didn't get the bonding. You know, there was the bonding and the connection that I missed being placed in a cold
Because of the cow's milk.
Bathtub because of the cow's milk.
You must hate cows.
I think the cows are...
Don't moo at me, mother. They go together, the cow.
The wily cow.
Yes.
Yeah. They pretend like they don't even see you. They don't know you're there.
Yeah.
But they're more dangerous than people think.
Yeah. I was misdiagnosed as having a nervous stomach, which was not a good way to make me feel better, because it made it worse, because then it was my fault I was doing it, and it was all in my head. It wasn't real, because I would miss the school bus in the morning. Like every kid, I'd have a breakfast, like sugary breakfast cereal with tons of milk,
right.
And then I'd be in the bathroom, the bus would go by my window, so my mom, when I was like 8 or so, took me to the doctor and ran, I don't know, the worst tests ever, because then he said, your son has anxiety about going to school in the morning.
Like, of course,
he doesn't want to go to school, so he's giving himself stomach aches. So he's got a nervous stomach. So then I would have the pain still, but then think, this is all my fault. So then I had mental anguish to go with the physical anguish.
Yeah, that usually happens. Now, one other thing, I think.
Oh, you have non-milk based topics to discuss?
Well, not necessarily.
Go ahead. No, fine. That's all I brought. But go ahead.
Go on non-milk topics, if you want. It's not actually non-milk. It's faux milk or milk alternative.
Oh, almond milk has saved my life.
Alt milk.
I want to promote almond milk today. It's awesome. Alt milk, I like that. Like
I heard that
the
almond
alt-right.
Milk is a scam.
Don't you dare.
It's a scam.
Don't you talk about my almond milk.
All they get is
I
a bunch of almonds
all day.
And water, and they kind of mash them together, and you buy this almond milk for $4.29, and it's got about an ounce of almonds and just water. That's
well,
it.
All I know is I can drink breakfast cereal again. Because when I was in college, I was desperate for cereal, and I tried eating cereal with water on it.
Yeah.
Does not work.
So
almond milk has opened up the cereal world for me again.
Now, this is another personal piece of information. I thought I heard in our dealings talking here and there that you claim that you are an ethnic minority on some level.
Yes, and that confuses people too. Yeah,
because your name is Brandon Burkhart, which is pretty white.
Yeah, it's
and
German.
You look, you know, I mean,
I'm like a white guy with a good tan. That's what people
assume.
Yeah,
that's not it. Yeah,
yeah,
but you don't want to be white.
I've had hilarious confusion about that, because like, so my mom is a small brown woman, and my dad's a tall, blonde-haired, blue-eyed man.
So wait, when you say hilarious confusion, that means the cops are ready to shoot.
No, yeah, that would not be
not that hilarious.
That would not be hilarious. Now I'm glad to pass for white when the cops pull me over.
There you go.
So my mom is Mexican American and my dad's German American. But people always ask me, who do you look more like, your mom or your dad? And I said, neither. I'm like right in the middle. Like I don't like either. I'm just like the perfect blend where I pass for neither of them.
Yeah.
Although when I grew a mustache, then people would say, oh, I see the Mexican now. So if I had that mustache all the time, because facial hair makes a world of difference. But no, I've been called a typical white guy so many times, even though I was raised by my mom on her own from like age six, my parents divorced. So I was just raised by a Mexican woman and with my Mexican cousins and aunts and uncles, and there was no one white around.
Where, in LA or somewhere?
San Antonio, Texas. Which is very, I figure everyone in San Antonio is a little bit Mexican because it's like majority Hispanic city.
Well, the whole state used to be Mexico.
Yes, exactly. And all my friends were like at least half or full. So people out here are like, oh, you're Mexican and German. What a weird mix. I'm like, there's a million of me in San Antonio. It's not a weird mix.
Well, and also if you listen to that, some kinds of Mexican music, I forget the names of them. They're really the
conjunto music.
Polka-oriented. Like they're very German.
It has the German accordion. Oh, yeah.
And when I was in Guatemala, you know, like the oldest brewery in Guatemala is a German brewery. I mean, there have been a lot of Germans.
Yeah, a lot of Germans in
Central America for over 100 years.
Yeah.
So it's not... Yeah.
So that's where I get the Burkhart. Although when I moved here from New York with my writing partner, we were trying to break into sitcoms. She kept telling me, change your name to your mother's maiden name. So you sound more Hispanic. And she's like, what's your mother's maiden name? I said, Vaquera. She's like, that's not Mexican enough.
Cowboy.
Come up with a different one. Yeah.
Yeah.
She wanted me to go with like Brandon Gonzalez or Brandon Gomez. So I'm going to hyphenate my name at some point.
Well, but that's the point of why I asked this question. When you were a younger kid, it was probably useful, or if you get pulled over by the police, to pass for white. But now what's happening in this country, and we're here in L.A. and in entertainment, being white is not useful.
No.
Like, I don't want to pass for white anymore.
The white guy is like the bad guy.
Yeah.
Like, oh, white males ruined everything kind of.
Yeah, nobody wants to be white, right?
So, yeah.
So, aren't you trying to pass
for
brown?
I'm stuck in the middle. Yeah, although...
pass for brown more than you used to want to pass for white.
I've always... It's always been a disadvantage to me. I've always passed for the wrong thing. Because, like, when I...
Yeah.
I can't win because when I was a kid, when I was in fourth grade... one of my classmates at the bus stop told me I was going to hell because I'm of mixed race.
Well, but that part's true.
Yeah, well, I
shouldn't
here,
find that out in fourth grade.
He knew I was going to move to LA someday, I guess, because here I am. But no, he was Jehovah's Witness, and his Jehovah's Witness mother said to him that the Bible says races shouldn't mix, and that the offspring's an abomination, which is nowhere in the Bible, but. It's a common Texas thing to wildly misquote that book. But I was in fourth grade. I thought, oh, I'm going to hell just for existing. And why even try? So that day I punched my first cop. No, I just thought like, all I've done is like say a curse word. And I'm like doomed. My soul's doomed. So why even try to be good? Although I'm still good because I'm just boring. I'm not good enough to be a rebel.
Well, this is another question. I'm going to get to this question in a minute. Tell us first, what are you working on now? What do you got coming up? Let's just get your promotional things. I want to let people know where they can see you, find you, throw things at you, you know, if they don't like you.
I'd love them to see me on Twitter, first of all,
because
I post a lot of jokes there, and I have a very meager following for the quality of my jokes. So join the 685 other people who've been enjoying my humor on a daily basis. Although some idiot... took my name already. Some white guy, another white male ruining things, took Brandon Burkhart. So I'm at Burkhart Brandon. I had to go backwards. Last name, first name.
Burkhart Brandon.
Yes.
Now, your Twitter is actually really funny to me.
Oh, good. I'm glad you've seen it.
Oh, yeah. because it's just one-liners.
Yeah.
That's it. It's just like a one-liner about something that's happening, and they're pretty funny.
Thank you. Well, I just try to be funny. I mean, a couple of friends have gotten annoyed at me lately for not posting serious things. Like, why aren't you talking about gun violence? And I'm like, that's not what my page is about. Like, everyone else is talking about serious things, so you can go there. But I don't feel like I need to, like, throw my voice into that, too, because people need to have a break and laugh. So that's what I'm doing.
Well, also, on social media especially, the people who are your friends are the people that already believe the thing that you believe.
Yeah, yeah. Whose life are you really going to change?
Yeah, and so if I post about gun violence or racial inequality, people on my page don't, I mean, they care, but I'm not telling them something they don't.
Yeah, people either go, hell yeah, or they'll argue with you. They won't go, oh man, I just changed my mind completely.
Yeah.
Based on the one sentence you wrote.
Well, you tweeted something about Brangelina breakup this week.
Oh,
what was that?
I had to. I mean, someone, yeah. I was posting my Brangelina jokes because that's how you join the stupid pop culture discussion. Yeah. But, and then one of my friends from Texas was like, why does anyone care about Brangelina? Like, it's Hollywood bullshit. I'm like, well, sorry. We need a break from police shootings for a second. Like, we'll go back to serious stuff. But,
well, what did you say about them? I forgot what the, do you remember?
I said a few things. I mean, let me just say, I don't know them. So these are just humorous jokes.
Yeah, that allows us to say anything we want. Yeah.
Some people are like, it's a family's going through pain. How dare you? I'm like, they'll be okay with.
They're not following.
They're not going to see my tweet.
They're
not following. Guaranteed. Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's you got to make jokes about orphans who've been adopted. So I went straight for the kids. Now, I just said, like, in the divorce, Angelina's getting four of their kids, and Brad's getting the other two plus an orphan to be named later.
That's fine.
Which, if you're a sports fan, then you get that joke.
No, that's good.
That's good.
I'm not sure why everybody cares. Of course, it's also super interesting that everybody cares for Jennifer Aniston, and they think that she's happy about this.
Yeah,
and that she's ready to
get
back together
waiting
with him. And
well, she—that's one of my jokes too—is that because she's happily married now,
totally,
after years of being like portrayed as his victim. She's happily married now, so of course Brad's going to try to screw that up by going for her again. So he just couldn't see her being happy. That's why he's single now,
right?
So he can confuse her,
right? Well, there's a lot of women that just don't like Angelina Jolie, even though they've never met her.
Yeah.
I've had women just say she's a homewrecker. They really did not like that she pushed Jennifer Aniston, over Niagara Falls without a barrel.
But it's kind of good she did that, because now she's working for the UN and, like, helping refugees around the world. So she's trying to compensate for being a homewrecker by saving the world's children. So I think it evens out. But everyone's whining about, Brad can go back to Jennifer Aniston, but no one's talking about the real issue, is now Angelina can go back to Billy Bob Thornton. That's the real romance that we need to rekindle,
Is he connected with somebody, Billy Bob? Do you know?
I think, no, I don't know what he's doing. I think he's had, like, five marriages or something like that.
You kind of look like him.
That's what I've been hearing.
A younger version.
I've been hearing Billy Bob Thornton for, like, the last 2 years since I lost weight and my face thinned out. Or as my old boss called me, I look like an ethnic Billy Bob Thornton.
Well, swarthy.
Swarthy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's good or not. I'm like, I'd rather be, ethnic George Clooney. But people say, no, it's good. No, he's a good-looking guy. I'm like, okay, really? Okay, now you're saying that just to spare my feelings.
See, now I'm like an ethnic Tilda Swinton.
Oh, there you go. Well, Tilda Swinton's playing an Asian, mystic arts master, so she's an Asian Tilda Swinton in the Doctor Strange movie.
That's another
whole weird, weird
story.
Casting. Yeah.
Yeah. But it was, I didn't write this down as a question, but in the time that I've known you and I look online at the photos, you look really different now than you did a couple of years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Your face is different, your hair is, like all these photos that I can see, your hair is all these different ways, you have different facial hair, your body shape is different.
Well, I used to be kind of a slob, and 2 years ago I was like, I've been putting a lot of weight, I was just eating junk food just to numb the pain of existence. But I put on a lot of weight, and I was at my heaviest weight, and I thought, I got to stop this. So I started being healthy again with food and exercise, and I lost 45 pounds. Although when I told people I was trying to lose weight, they'd say, oh, you look fine, you look great, you don't need to lose any weight, which was not constructive, because I did. I was like morbidly obese on a scientific level. People were like, no, you're not obese. I'm like, yeah, look at the chart. But then when I lost weight, they're like, oh, you look so different. I'm like, I thought you told me I didn't need to lose any weight. But they're like, oh, you look great now. I'm like, well, then you lied before when you said I looked fine. But I think I look
maybe
better.
Maybe it's a white lie.
I think I look better, yeah.
Maybe they have low standards.
I guess.
Were you a fat kid
in
school?
They were used to fat Brandon. I wasn't the fat kid. Like back in the day when it wasn't every kid was obese, there was always like just the two fat kids, not the 90% fat kids. I was a little chubby, but because I ran around, so I loved basketball. I loved sports so much. I was always playing football in the neighborhood and basketball, and so I burned it off. I ate like crap, but then I ran like crazy. But then you get older and you drive everywhere and not ride your bicycle to the mall 2 miles away every day.
Yeah. And you the still, pain of
and,
existence.
Yeah, and I'm still eating the same as I was when I was 12, then it doesn't go so well. Because, like, as a kid, I developed a horrible love for Arby's. And
Arby's and sugared cereals, but then milk intolerance.
And then I broke away from Arby's for several years, for a couple of decades. But then a couple of years ago, I was just, like, working near the Arby's in Hollywood, and every day I just go through the drive-thru way out. I'm like, oh, this tastes like the comfort of being young again. And my body's like, you can't digest this properly. I'm going to turn it into a gut.
Yeah. So how old were you when you first ran away from home?
I ran or was chased? No, I when I left, I never ran.
You stole the car. You took the car.
I wasn't cool enough to be a runaway. I wish. I did run away, actually, one time.
See?
But not in a cool way. It was like the worst running away from home ever. I think I was 11 or something, and I was upset about nothing, really, but I thought, I'm going to run away from home. I think I saw a movie about a runaway. I thought it looked romantic. I
thought it looked cool.
And then,
it only looks good in movies, but yeah.
But the kind of running away where my mom didn't even notice I was gone, because I was gone for like 25 minutes. I just like left the back door and went up the street and sat by a tree, and then I thought, I'm cold and hungry, and went back home.
This running away is in all its crap.
That was I got out of my system. I sowed my wild oat.
Yeah. Oat. One oat. One single oat. Before we forget, you mentioned your Twitter is Burkhart Brandon.
Yes.
But you got some shows coming up. What else?
Oh, I do. Yeah.
I opened this window for you to do some shameless self-promotion.
I know.
And you changed the subject while you were shy.
I'm so interesting. I keep going into different tangents of my fascinating dialogue here. But yes, back to your
try to stay focused.
Back to your prompting.
Try to stay focused.
Yeah, I'm starting my own story. I've been doing storytelling around LA for a couple, like, three years now. Yeah. And so it's time to start my own storytelling show. And by storytelling, some people don't really know exactly what that is, because it's – people see my shows and like, oh, it's like stand-up. But it's – you know, you're telling us one sustained story for like 7 to 10 minutes. But I put a lot of jokes in my stories. Some people are dry storytellers, but I make it more entertaining, so people are laughing like it is stand-up. But so now I'm starting my own storytelling show with my friend Tony Bartolone, who's a comedian, and we're doing it at this place it's called The Nerdist, and they have a stage called Nerd Melt, because it's behind Meltdown Comics in West Hollywood. And it's going to be the first Fridays of the month at 10 p.m. and it's called Blank Space, because it's we're trying this thing called improvised storytelling, where we have guest performers who are good at telling stories and good at improv and are funny, and we're going to give them a suggestion right when they get on stage so they don't know what they're talking about. Hopefully it'll inspire something entertaining for us to hear. So then no two shows will be alike, and we're going to mix up the way that they get the prompt. We're going to have, like, there's a typical thing that's have like a hat with some little slips of paper in there with different words, but we're going to have like, open this fortune cookie, and then what does the fortune make you think of? We have a screen. We're going to like do like a Rorschach ink blot, like look at that picture. Now,
okay,
what does that make you want to
talk
about?
Yeah, I like that better than just audience suggestions, because, you could be more creative in there, stimulating.
Sure, And then sometimes the audience will try to be funnier than the performers, and they'll... Because I did this show called The Armando Show at iOS Theater 2 weeks ago, where it starts with an audience suggestion, and then a storyteller tells stories, and then people do improv scenes based on it. But the improv prompt I got from the audience was someone yelled out, "Terrorist daycare." And it's like they had some sketch comedy idea in their head they wanted to see, but...
Yeah. Well, that's the limitation of having an audience suggestion, is especially here with you other improvisers. They try to be clever.
Yeah.
And they try to, you know, like you say, get something on
people,
or mess you up.
People will yell gynecologist or penis or Donald Trump, which I guess those are all three the same thing. But, yeah, so we'll make it fun and
more interesting. Yes. Now, you mentioned, so that's Blank Space, first Fridays of the month at 10 p.m. at Nerd Melt.
Yes.
And you mentioned that you did the Armando last week at iOS.
Yes.
Right? Yeah. And so for people that don't know, I don't know. Let's just say it's me. The difference between an Armando and a Herald.
There's almost basically no difference. They're like...
one is Spanish.
They're like spin-offs from each other. Yeah. I mean, the Armando is a Herald that was modified by this guy, Armando Diaz, in Chicago, I think. So this show's been going on since the early 90s. This is like a established, long-running improv show. But it's just... It's a Herald that's called the Armando because this guy, Armando Diaz, would, like, do these monologues between the Herald improv scenes, and so it was called the Armando Diaz Experience, and then the show branched off and people started doing it in his place, and so whoever does the guest monologues, it was just called the Armando for the night. Okay. And then it became the Armando Show.
So it's basically Herald.
Yes.
With three teams, and they're doing their Herald thing, which if people don't know, that's fine. We're not going to explain that. You can look it up.
If you've seen a Herald, you'll get the Armando. It's an expanded version.
And then a narrator or a storyteller that in between these rounds comes in and also is part of the process.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That sounds good, actually. Was it fun?
It's fun. Yeah. It's like an hour long show, and I did like four stories in between. The improvisers, they were like, I bounce off them, they bounce off me, and it all ties together. And everyone that does it is like an experienced performer, and they were all hilarious. And I was nervous about doing improvised stories for the first time because normally I have a story that I've written out and rehearsed.
Sure.
And this was just fly by the seat of my pants. And just I thought I'd have trouble thinking of things to say, but obviously I can't stop talking, so I would just jump out there.
Yeah,
because they did an improv scene where they're in a prison, and then I remembered, oh, I was in jail, so I told some of my jail story.
I was in prison once.
So that worked out.
So for people who don't know anything about this, the Herald, which is the basic form, has three teams, and they take turns coming up and doing either a story or a game or some kind of – and then the other teams – can build off of that, and if it works, great. You know, by the end of the hour, the three teams and the stories all start to weave and connect together.
Well, yeah, I mean,
more or less.
And it's not necessarily teams. Sometimes this is one group of like 8 to 10 people.
Okay.
You do three different scenes that are not connected, and then you do a second round where with three other different scenes that don't connect, and then by the end you start connecting all the threads together, and it becomes this like one organic thing that has an arc to it.
At its best.
Ideally.
Well,
a lot of
it doesn't always
hilarious
work, but
connections.
But when it does work, it's really great.
Yeah, it's magical. Yeah.
Here's a straight ahead question about this storytelling stuff has gotten super popular in the past few years.
Yeah.
5 years. Do you have any reasons why that might be? Any ideas about that?
The way I look at it and what I like about it, because I hadn't really been aware of it until I took a storytelling class 3 years ago that I just had a class credit at this place that was teaching it, so I thought I'll check it out, and then I liked it. People are looking for connection. I mean, everyone's kind of into their technology. And stand-up is still – people still love stand-up comedy, but that's still a little detached. You're watching someone hit punchlines, and then you're laughing at their punchlines. But and a lot of stand-up does have storytelling in it. But just when you go just to a storytelling show, I find, as far as from a performer's perspective, the audience is actively listening a lot more. Even at a stand-up comedy show, people are kind of sitting back, like, you know, prove to me you're funny, and they'll still go get drinks at the bar or talk to their friends. But when you're at a storytelling show, you know the person that's up there is going somewhere over the next 7 to 10 minutes, and so you'll give them a lot of more attention and patience, and because you can like have a slow build, and then it can still have a huge payoff at the end. You might see a storyteller where it's just quiet the whole time, and then they get to the end and it's like a huge laugh or a huge response because the audience is getting emotionally invested in what. And also, everyone has a lot of. We have so many commonalities of things that we thought only I had this fear, only I had this. This embarrassing moment, and then when someone shares that, it's a human moment, and you feel relieved. Because I do stories where I think that was just a weird thing that happened to me. And people come up to me and I'm like, I had went through the same thing, or I love seeing them talk about that. And I just realized that it's just a great way to connect with people.
Well, that was one of the things I wanted to know. I mean, you have had some success. You've won some things at some point, even though I didn't get that right. You just have a more interesting life than all the
No, I wasn't going to do it because I thought I had a more boring life. Because when I first heard about it, I thought, well, everyone's going to talk about, you know, their loved one dying, or them, you know, saving someone's life, or them getting shot in some bank holdup. And I didn't have that many catastrophic things. But then I've learned that even just little things can seem catastrophic in the moment. That's part of the art of it, is just getting a traffic ticket. Everyone could become a story if you get into the details and your feelings and what's happening with you in that moment. So anything can be a story, basically. That's what I've learned. I'll tell a story about this podcast right after your podcast.
Will you?
No.
Depends.
Can I use this mic and this recorder?
We have to make it interesting. I don't know if anything interesting has happened yet. I like the fact that we're doing that. All this radio storytelling, mm-hmm. I mean, long-form stuff or more personal kinds of connections.
Yeah.
You know, people want that. Maybe it's a reaction to other things, technology. I don't know, but yeah, it's out there.
My story about this podcast, you didn't know the twist ending where I just randomly punched the host of the podcast. Anyway, I didn't, spoiler alert. We'll get to that later. But
you've never done that. Now you say you're going to punch the host of the podcast. You said you've punched a cop. I don't think have you ever punched anybody?
No, I haven't punched anybody.
In your life, like, you're not that guy.
I have something to look forward to, though. You know,
when you get old.
It's a bucket
your
list.
Old age.
I have a punch it list of what I'm going to punch at some point.
Who are you going to punch?
It's got to be a surprise. But yeah, I forgot what I was going to say. I'm sure it was great.
It was awesome. All right, I'm going to switch the subject then. Tell us about Pun Dumpster.
I have this pun blog, as one does. I'm in a blog. I have this friend, Naomi, who also shares like my taste in terrible puns.
Yeah.
And so we made a website of our terrible puns, and some people get angry at puns.
It's true,
because they'll say, right. "Oh, that's so stupid," but I embrace that. Like, you need stupid things in life. Like, so pundumpster.tumblr.com. We're a Tumblr page because some idiot had already registered pundumpster.com as a website.
Some idiot.
And he never used it. He's just sitting on it. Like, nothing. There's no posts or anything. And we wanted to reach out and say, hey, can we use it? But then I thought, if we tell them we're going to use it, then I realize it's valuable and say, oh, yeah, give me $500. So we thought, we'll just make a Tumblr page and work around him. But these are purposely groaning puns that make you groan and go, oh, my God, that's such a – like, I don't want to be – pretend that I'm going for greatness. We're just wallowing in the silliness of terrible puns. But I think they're clever, original terrible puns.
Yeah, so. Well, the puns are supposed to upset somebody.
Yes.
If a pun doesn't upset anybody, it's not worthwhile. Paraphrase Albert Einstein.
Oh, okay, anyway. Exactly, yeah.
He didn't say that about puns, but...
He thought it.
Well, he said if an idea is not at first completely ridiculous, it has no chance of success.
Okay.
So, but in a way, it's related.
Yeah, but people have said to me, puns are the lowest form of comedy. And well, Shakespeare used a lot of puns, so...
And it's not the lowest
form. I'm just saying I'm the new Shakespeare. That's all I'm saying. It's just a humble thing to say.
Now you're making me think about... I have this 11-year-old son. Oh, good. Yeah, you got the. He's drooling on
water.
Himself,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. He does not know how to drink from a cup. We could
Happy
give you
birthday.
A, so I have this 11-year-old kid, and so a few years ago, I was giving him some cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, here, try this cheese. And he says, is it Gouda? And I said, it's better than a Gouda. It's a Grata. And
he hasn't talked to you since.
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah.
He was like 8, and he just kind of rolled his eyes because he's used to me.
Yeah.
But I thought it's better than a Gouda, it's a Grata. That seemed hilarious to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so funny, I just kept saying it. And he got tired of it and a little bit irritated. And his mom, we're divorced now, I don't think this is the reason, she got really upset. She got angry that I kept saying it and laughing, and for 10 minutes I was laughing and I kept saying it, and then I finally went outside And I was sitting outside someplace, and I was still kind of chortling to myself and thinking about it, and it all calmed down. And then all of a sudden, I realized that Greta was also could mean grater, like a cheese grater.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's better than a Gouda. It's a Greta. Could mean multiple things. And I laughed out loud, and I ran in the house and said, "Oh, my God, I just realized how funny this is." And they both got very upset. I just had this whole thing of an Italian guy, you know, who invented this cheese grater, and it was a grata, better than a Gouda. You know, it's better than a Gouda. It's great. It's, anyway, you get it.
Yeah. And now I want to divorce you, but that's where
it's a grata.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Okay. I believe that everybody has a superpower, which is some quality or energy that just comes through you naturally. Do you know what that is for you?
Interesting. Comes through me. I mean,
you don't have to make an effort. You know, it's one of those things you get out of the way and it just comes through you.
People just tell me I make them feel better. I don't know if that's kind of douchey to say. That
it is douchey.
Some people say, like, I was down.
That's not douchey.
Which actually, with my jokes, people have said to me, I was having a terrible day and then I read your joke and I laughed and I feel so much better. So I'm healing people through my humor, I think.
It's not douchey.
I have the ability to not digest lactose properly.
That's your superpower.
Yes.
Yeah.
To confuse people.
Well, you know, we may not always realize what our superpower is.
Mm-hmm.
But I, you know, I do think there's something that may just kind of be trying to get out into the world through us, and we can get out of its way. And, yeah. An effect you have on other people, or moments of inspiration or insight, you make people feel better.
Yeah, and people have actually told me that they started losing weight because they were inspired by me. I've heard that a few times, and that was really flattering.
Okay, so your superpower is you're like a hot water bottle for the soul.
Okay, yes, I'll take that.
Not hot chicken, not chicken soup for the soul, but
yeah,
fuzzy hot water bottle.
I was thinking like a whoopee cushion, like water bottle, you sit on it, it'll make that funny sound, but yeah, the same genre.
There's a reason why the combination whoopee cushion hot water bottle has never caught on.
Do people still use hot water bottles?
I mean, they still sell them.
Yeah. Okay.
I've used one recently. All right, so superpower, if you have one, you don't know what it is. Really. Sounds like that. You're a nice guy.
I just enjoy...
You're a mensch.
I mean, not so much I'm a nice guy. I'm enjoying life, and then hopefully people will enjoy it more because I'm enjoying it.
I'm just going to let you know that's the most boring answer I've ever gotten to that question.
Yeah. Plus, I can punch people randomly, and they won't know it's coming.
All right, so officially, you have no idea.
What is your superpower, Denzel?
Mine, for a long time, I said that it was destruction. But I'm trying to change that because that has a bad connotation, even though I then explain that it's more like a Hindu destruction that clears out, you know, waste so that the new thing can come. But I'm starting to realize that that's only part of it. My superpower is that I bounce. I mess up a lot. I crash a lot. Mm-hmm. I fall down a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I get up and I keep going. And I am really good at making the most out of shitty things that happen.
Wow, okay. Yeah.
But it's taken me a long time to kind of understand that, and it has certain kinds of expressions. Like when I say destruction, I don't like the way things are supposed to be. When I see rules or, you know, something wants to be put in a box or people that are controlling, I just want to fuck with that. I want to mess it up. I want to throw a bomb. So, yeah, my superpower is... breaking down the way we think things are or are supposed to be.
Now I'm worried you're going to delete this podcast to clear it out for a better guest to be on your podcast, just like destroy for better things to happen.
I'm not going to do that, but at this moment, your car is being towed.
What?
Yeah, so that's how that works. Next question. You have a somewhat quirky sleeping or bedtime ritual. What is it?
I do. Have you been watching me? I wouldn't say I have a quirky. I just
say yes.
Yes, I do.
What is it?
I can sleep anywhere.
Confess. You feel better.
I'm just really good at sleeping. I don't understand when people say that they had insomnia or they're light sleepers. I've slept through every earthquake that we've had in LA. I mean, they're all small, but I'm always just oblivious. I actually had a girlfriend in the past who got mad at me for being able to sleep so well. Because she had insomnia, but then she'd feel worse seeing me sleeping. And then in the morning, she's like, "You slept all night." I'm like, "Sorry. I didn't sleep at all." Okay.
So she broke up with you because you were a sound sleeper.
I was like mocking her insomnia with my good sleeping.
I understand that.
I do need some white noise. So I turn on like an air purifier. If it's too quiet, I can't sleep.
So you're racist?
Yes.
What? Yeah,
to purify the air. Yes.
What's black noise then? If we know that white noise is like the static or the, you know, wind chimes or surf sounds or what's black noise?
There's too much going on in this country for me to answer that question. After what happened in Charlotte, I'm not going to talk about it.
Don't talk about black noise.
There's been enough destruction.
All right. As a child, you had an imaginary friend. Your imaginary friend also had an imaginary friend.
Okay.
Where are they now?
Where are they now?
Yeah.
Oh, not who are they, but where are they?
Where?
Well, one is starring in the movie Pete's Dragon, because it was the dragon from Pete's Dragon.
Is that your friend or your friend's imaginary
friend? That was my friend's imaginary friend.
Your imaginary friend's imaginary friend is a dragon.
My imaginary friend was the boy Pete from Pete's Dragon, and then he had an imaginary friend who was a dragon.
Okay.
So now they're in a reboot.
So they're more successful than you are.
Yeah, I loved the movie as a kid. Now they're making the Hollywood comeback, yeah.
Did you really have this imaginary friend, Pete, from Pete's Dragon?
No.
You're just humoring me.
You know, my imaginary friend was myself. And it's going to sound like get the violins out. I was the only child. And I just talked to myself forever. I just remember sitting in my room just talking to myself. And I still, to this day, endlessly talk to myself.
Are you talking to yourself right now?
Where'd you go, Denzel? You're not there.
I feel like you're not paying
attention. You're my imaginary friend.
I also want to call out that the past 5 minutes we've been talking, I've been asking you these questions. You have this body posture like you're about to run out of the room.
Ever since that Greta.
Better than a Greta, it's a Greta.
Yeah.
It's a Greta.
It's been driving me crazy. I've been thinking about it the whole time. Now, I feel like I'm trying to lean into the mic, but I don't want to put my hands on the table to shake the mic. So I'm like,
no, it's electrically charged.
Here's also the mic.
Yeah.
I did another podcast where the girl kept saying, "Don't touch the table." And I kept touching the table. So now I'm afraid. So I'm trying to just lean forward.
Well, you know, some podcast places, audio studios, have the mics mounted like from the ceiling so that they don't touch the table. So if you touch the table, you don't get that kind of thing. I mean, I don't have that kind of technology. So, I mean, people can't see this, but the mic is on the table. I have suspended us from the ceiling.
Oh, yes.
Which is, you know, it's another way to work with the problem. So,
and we're constantly in suspense during this podcast.
Suspended, yeah.
Like the audience.
Yeah.
Yes.
The interesting part is that because the chairs are mounted to the ceiling and then the pants are also connected to the chair. It's a little tricky, like when you get here, to slide into the pants that are sewn to the chair, and you got to buckle them up so you don't fall out of the chair.
Yeah.
But it really works to keep the mic noise at a minimum.
It's a pretty elaborate setup, but I think the audience can hear the difference.
So you were an only child.
Yes.
You still are an only child.
Yes.
And you had no friends. You were not.
This is where I start crying in the interview. I had some friends.
You were not smart enough to create an imaginary friend for yourself.
No, it was just
creative
me.
Was it like a shadow you? Is this you that you talked to?
Maybe I was a childhood schizophrenic, and then I grew out of it.
I'm trying to get some repressed memory syndrome. Trying to stimulate
something.
I would just
like talk to myself and make myself laugh, and I loved my jokes. I got my sense of humor, and I fit in perfectly when I lived in New York City because everyone was talking to themselves. So I'd walk around talking to myself and no one noticed. But now, sometimes I'm walking around L.A. talking to myself and then I realize people are around and I'm probably scaring them. So,
plenty of people in L.A. talking to themselves, too.
Yes.
Yeah. So you have no superpower as far as you know. You don't really have a quirky sleeping ritual, although you said you like white noise.
I guess my superpower is the ability to stay single. That's a superpower.
That might be a superpower.
Only have relationships that end. Yeah. so far so good, so far so bad.
Yeah. How many relationships are you, what's the longest that you've had?
A year and a half.
A year and a half? Your whole life?
I've had 2 year and a halves, but one was at 25 and one was at 35.
So and
every
now?
Decade, I'm about to turn 44.
Oh, so you're due any
month. I'm due for another year and a half.
Another 18
renew my year. I didn't thought about it. I didn't realize that until now.
No, see, you could do what I've done, which is to get married and divorced three times.
Three times?
Three times.
Third time's a charm. I think you got it, it right this time. I think you got it right. I think you got it the divorce part right this time.
No,
right?
I got it right all three times.
Okay.
No, honestly.
You have beginner's luck.
And I, you know, people say, oh, do you want to get married again? And would, do you think you would do that? And I'm like, well, you know, maybe. I got nothing bad to say about marriage. I have nothing bad to say about divorce. I have nothing bad to say about any of my ex-wives. But I do know one thing. The next time I get divorced, I want it to be forever.
There you go. It's so romantic.
Yeah. So no imaginary friends. Jeez.
No.
Pete the Magic Dragon. How are we on time?
I would have had an imaginary friend who could properly digest lactose if I did.
That's good. You may not know this, but I have a thing about getting hit in the face with a pie.
Oh, yeah. That happened to me once. It was, yeah. So what's your
thing?
You've
gotten hit in the face with a pie?
Cut twice.
By whom?
Well, it was for a comedy show.
Mm-hmm.
I did a sketch show in New York with some friends of mine. We just like rented a theater and wrote a show. And I wrote a scene where I got hit in the face with a pie because comedy gold. And I didn't realize how hard it was to recover from that. Or I think they used fake pies with shaving cream or something in the movies that they did that. But yeah. I was like, I would buy a pie.
Uh-huh.
And my friend smacked me in the face. And I spent the rest of the show trying to get pie out of my... It would get my eyeballs. I was blinded by the pie. And okay. I was in my hair. And I couldn't see it.
It gets up your nose.
It was in my nose and my ear. Yeah. That was the first scene of the sketch show was my pie face thing. But spent the rest of the show trying to get my face clean.
And never put the comedy gold in the first.
I was so distracted.
In the beginning of the show.
I know.
You put the pie at the end.
I blew my pie wad, and it just was so distracting having cream in my ears that I said, let's cut that part of the scene. So that was it.
Blew my pie wad.
Yes.
That's going to be a hashtag on the show. Yeah, we're going to have to blew my pie wad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to remember that.
It's a cliche for a reason.
Here's my, I've never heard that before. Well, here's my question.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going to ask you who you would like to hit in the face with a pie.
Okay.
That's a trope that we don't need to do. But if you were going to be hit in the face with a pie, I'm going to give you the opportunity to choose anyone in history, famous, not famous, living or dead. If you were could be hit in the face with a pie by someone.
By someone.
Who would that be? And so instead of it being a surprise and something violent, you're going to give this person permission, and you're going to accept this pie in the face with as much generosity as you can.
Okay.
And, you know, they're going to have a great time doing it, kind of like you had with your friend in the sketch show. So, yeah, you can be hit in the face with a pie by anyone in history. Who would you like to throw that pie?
By anyone in history?
Yeah.
I would have to go with Hitler.
Hitler.
I'm sure everyone answers that question the same way.
No, people generally don't answer that question the same way. What would that be like for you and for Hitler? What would you imagine?
Well, as he throws a pie on my face, I'm stabbing him several times with a shiv.
Okay.
So that's why I would do that.
So... You're going to take advantage of
multitasking. He'll be distracted by the. He'll be laughing at the pie thing and like enjoying it, and then shiv, like several stabs in the chest.
So you would pick Hitler so that he could get close enough to you that you could kill him.
Exactly. Yes.
All right. And you're gonna have it be adult Nazi Hitler. You could also do it with like maybe elementary school Hitler.
Could get him younger and then get him to laugh and enjoy life and then not want to hurt people. Yeah. I tell him, like, oh, you are a great artist. You're a great performance artist. You should do that. Go hit the stage and throw pies at people, and then he'll have a whole new career.
There are some theories that he became who he became because nobody liked his paintings.
Yeah. I could see that.
And he was a vegan, wasn't he? He had some weird lactose intolerance.
I think people use that just to make fun of vegans. Oh, you're a vegan? You know, Hitler was a vegan.
Do you hear that a lot?
I've heard people use that to make fun of vegans, yeah.
Yeah. When they think you're a vegan.
No.
you said you get accused of being a vegan.
Yeah, because I brought vegetables to a potluck.
Subversive, deeply subversive. So Hitler, yeah.
Never bring a knife to a pie-throwing show. fight to a pie fight.
Yeah, bring a knife to a pie fight. Yeah, I like
Plus,
that.
Plus, it'd probably be Bavarian cream pie, which is delicious.
Bavarian cream pie. Well, that's a good question, a good follow-up, which I had not considered. What kind of pie would this person, what flavor?
I'd go with a Bavarian.
It's not barbarian, it's Bavarian.
Bavarian.
But in his case, it could be a barbarian cream pie.
Yeah, it would, yeah.
And now exactly. I'm getting an image for a barbarian cream pie that has these spikes coming out of it, and like there's rocks in it. Like Attila the Hun.
Scalps and like cream pie. The blood of their enemies, yeah.
Yeah. Barbarian cream, barbarians at the gate with
the
cream
secret,
pies.
The secret ingredient is the lamentations of their women, yeah.
Barbarian cream pie. Okay. All right, so I like that. You got any, you had a moment now to rethink it, aside from Hitler, any other, you could just go with Hitler. No one has answered Hitler.
Well, my first and less hilarious answer was going to be Shakespeare, but Shakespeare, Hitler, they're two sides of the same coin, basically.
So you had a first idea.
Yeah, I'm
and
like,
as an improviser, you
I'm like, Shakespeare, everyone says that, I'll go with Hitler.
Everybody says Shakespeare. Nobody has said Shakespeare. Why would you want it to be Shakespeare?
Because he's the man. I love Shakespeare, and I want to prove to people that not only did he use great language, he also liked slapstick and always put a clown in between kings getting murdered. And
Lear, for
and
example.
He liked
great
puns.
Fool. Yeah, great fool, and he liked puns. Yeah. Okay, all right. But you think Hitler would enjoy this? Hitler would look at this as an opportunity to hit you in the face with a pie.
It's joyful to do that. How can you not joyfully hit someone in the face with a pie?
Well, that's my point exactly. All right. One last thing here that I like to do on the show is to anagram stuff. And I anagrammed. I didn't come up with a lot of things for you.
Okay.
which is, part of the risk of the thing. But here's the anagram. The only interesting one that I came up to for your name, Brandon Burkhart. Will you read that?
All right, from Brandon Burkhart, you got Drank Urban Broth.
Drank Urban Broth. I'm not sure if that sheds any light on
Yeah, I've never had someone do this with my name. It's interesting. Yeah, it's definitely unique and disturbing. Thank you, Denzel. What do you get from your name? I'm sure you didn't listen.
Well, I'll tell you later, but Drank Urban Broth, you get anything from that? Any images or...
Well, urban broth sounds like I'm drinking from the sewer.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
It doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound like a drink in order urban on
broth.
Purpose.
No.
Urban broth.
Doesn't sound tasty, does it?
No. Maybe suburban broth would be better, but...
But you're a city guy. You lived in cities.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't be suburban.
I'm sure I've drank plenty of urban broth in my day.
Yeah, well, hopefully you don't remember. And then the other thing I anagrammed was pun dumpster.
Oh,
the right below that. Read what you
got
from
a lot out of my pun dumpster. Pumped runts.
Yeah. Little runts that are super pumped up and excited about something. Yeah.
Pruned stumps. That's a little, okay, interesting.
You made it sexual, but that's, you made it creepy. The way you said it and you rolled your eyes and you licked your lips.
That's my superpower. I made it creepy.
Pruned stump.
I do like upends Trump.
That's a good one. Pun dumpster. Upends Trump. Now you have a mission.
I do.
Mission statement for your puns.
And then you also have punted rumps, which is great too.
Yeah.
Kicking someone in the behind.
Kicking somebody's ass with horrible puns. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean. And then the last thing I did anagram, moth story slam. Is that the right phrase of
the
thing?
Yeah. And you got a lot of words out of it.
What do you get there?
A couple I really like here. Mostly hot.
Yeah, mostly hot.
Smartly smooth.
Mm-hmm.
This is my favorite. Trashy lost mom.
I thought you would like that. and just in general.
Who doesn't like trashy lost moms?
Yeah.
It's my favorite website.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. We have a lost mom. She's wearing a JCPenney jumpsuit.
Oh, my God. She is trashy. Yeah. Just think of every woman in Florida for some reason. Am short, mostly. Okay.
That's the stories. I am short, mostly. Yeah.
Okay. Hot sly is it marmots?
Marmots.
Marmots. No one ever says that word out loud, so. Hot sly marmots. Well, I think they're hot and sly in a certain respect, yeah.
I'm not sure if they're rodents. They may be mammals.
I think they're rodents or are they marsupials?
Well, that's the question. It could be marsupial because marmot, marsupial, you're tended to go that way, but and they're bigger than most rodents.
Yeah, it's like in those old Sylvester Stallone cartoons where he thought that the or was it Sylvester Stallone. He has a cartoon. Sylvester the cat?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With Tweety Bird?
Tweety Bird, yeah.
Where they would think the kangaroo was a giant rat.
I saw that one.
And
he's boxing. He's a boxing kangaroo.
Yes.
He falls gloves. Off the truck and the cage opens.
Yes.
And he and Sylvester wants to eat him. And he keeps getting punched in the face.
And then he makes 5 Rocky movies and becomes Sylvester Stallone the cat. Yeah. It all ties together. There was boxing in that cartoon.
Shows you what a great manager can do.
Yeah.
Can really help you on. So the question with these is that, is there any of these anagrams that that provides like a new window into the original word? Sometimes it happens that you get a kind of like, oh, yeah, wow, that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. I do like punted rumps for pun dumpster.
Yeah, tell me why, what that...
I just like the idea of I see this boot just like swinging into a bulbous buttock and striking it.
And that's the pun.
So I want to punt some rumps, yeah.
That's the job of a pun, is yes. to have to a, like the...
Kick you in the... A nice little kick in the pants.
I'm seeing the boot from the game Mousetrap, you know, that swings on the stick.
Wow, that is an old school reference. I used to have Mousetrap, yeah. That was a fun game.
You said a big boot punt, hitting a punt.
That thing was fascinating pre-video games.
Punting a runt. Rump.
Yeah.
Runt. Rump. Wait, what is it?
Rump. Punting, punted rump.
Punted rump.
Yeah.
They still make...
they do.
That game.
Wow.
Yeah. What's it called? A Mousetrap.
Mousetrap, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I have some friends that have built a kind of life-size one that works with a bowling ball.
What?
And the bathtub is a real bathtub. And then at the end, the cage falls on a piano. Or actually, they have a piano fall on a – that's what it is. They have a piano fall on a giant mouse that they usually make out of paper mache and fill with a bunch of red paint, and they drop a piano on it.
Where do they do this? They have like a warehouse or something?
Yeah, they have a warehouse around San Francisco, Oakland. They've also brought it to Burning Man like 10 different times.
Oh, okay, of course.
But they do it places. You'd be surprised.
Do you go in the bathtub and sit there and vomit on yourself as part of the whole machinery?
I've asked.
If you could do that.
But they always
the ball hits me and then I throw up into the next thing and then it moves along the bucket.
They say
the bucket.
They're booked up. They say we're totally booked. We would love to accommodate you, but yeah. What else anything else you're working on? What are you writing right now?
What am I writing?
Yeah, you do some other stuff.
I write sitcoms. I write screenplays and I write wonderful unproduced screenplays. I just wrote a horror comedy. Mm-hmm. That was fun because you can be funny and then have people get their heads torn off.
Yeah.
So that was fun. Yeah.
Wait, is that something you've learned? Like you be funny and then the heads get torn off? You can't do it the opposite way.
Well, you got to punch some rumps to make some comedy omelets. Yeah, it starts off funny and then things get serious.
Grandmaster Mixed Metaphor.
Yes.
Punch some rumps to... That's my DJ name, by the way. Grandmaster Mixed Metaphor.
That's a good DJ name, yeah. Yeah.
He says things like, it's always darkest before the fat lady sings.
I love that. Yeah. Yeah. You're remixing old metaphors into something new.
I like mixing and mashups, right? With all those music mashup things now, you put two genres of things together. Yeah, I always love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It makes something totally new.
Because you like to destroy something to make way for something new.
That's right. You're right. It's on brand for me.
Yeah.
So what's on brand for you?
What's on brand?
Yeah, I'm realizing now I said that kind of thing is on brand for me.
I have to, this has been the year of me learning to have a brand because I never did before, to my detriment.
Yeah.
I used to always pride myself on being a jack of all trades. I can do everything a little bit. And that people will stick to one thing forever and get really, really good at it. And so I kind of envy them.
Mm-hmm.
So I made my brand storytelling this year because I needed to focus, because I would do comedy and sketch and improv and writing scripts. And
now, are you convinced that this is the right thing, or do you really get it, or are you just saying, I did my brand this way? And yeah.
It's what I enjoy the most.
Are you behind this initiative to have a brand, to build your brand?
I'm begrudgingly branding.
Well,
My brand should be
begrudgingly Brandon.
Begrudgingly Brandon. I'll take it.
Because you want to be somebody else.
Yeah.
Do you know who you want to be?
I want to be everybody.
When you grow up? We are the world?
Yes. Well, that's I never want to hear that song again and be someone who can
Oh, my God. Remember when that song was popular and that it came out? It was just on all the time.
Yeah. And I did it.
Wait, were you alive then?
I did it in karaoke a couple years ago, but we were doing it ironically and making fun of it. But I think that should have been the end. That should have closed the book on that song, my karaoke version of it.
Yeah. All right. Branding.
So, yes.
Branding.
Brandon, yeah. I always was upset that I never had a nickname for my name, because there's no nickname for Brandon.
Yeah.
I always wanted to be Joshua, so I could be Josh, or Charles, so I could be Chuck. But
you weren't fat enough to call him Fat Kid.
So no, I wish. Yeah. Close enough. But, I guess Brand is the closest thing, but that's not a good nickname. But, hey, Brand, because it's almost as long as Bruh.
No. Well, you're Brandon Burkhart. You could be BB.
I am BB. Yeah, I am BB, and I'm B squared.
Oh, B squared. All right.
Yeah, so yeah. I use that sometimes. People who are into math equations.
All right. Okay. Well, I spent a lot of years in the branding world and business. So if you have any questions about that.
Sure, let's do that.
Basically, you can be a jack of all trades. That's useful. But people will know you as something. And it's useful for people to be able to identify and put you in a box. But also, when they hear your name, what do they think of? Oh, this guy, this is what he does. And it's just a shorthand.
Yeah.
It's just useful. And it's useful as the beginning of how people know you. And as they know you more, that gets bigger and expands and it can become more complex. And but it's a good thing.
Yeah.
So storytelling.
Yes. Or my brand could be Brangelina, because now they're not going to use that.
They're not going to. That's up for grabs.
So I'm going to grab that domain and sit on it.
Yes.
And be Brangelina.
Actually,
I have the brand already in my name.
And you're here in Los Angeles.
I'm Brangelina.
Brangelino.
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 Exactly. See, you've changed my life already.
I'm going to hashtag that, too, because you deserve it.
Okay.
Angelino.
Yeah, it fits.
Brangelino. That actually might work.
It'd just be me standing, above the city.
See, now this is why it's possibly good branding, right? Because people will see that. First thing they'll do is they'll laugh. They'll assume that you have some kind of sense of humor, or you're a little quirky in some way, and then they'll get curious, who is this guy that's saying and doing this? If a brand does that, laughs or scares the shit out of people, and then they say, what else is this? Who is this guy?
Yeah.
That's great. You know what I mean? Because it pulls people towards you. It begins a conversation.
Sure. And then once I have their attention, I ask them what kind of cheese they like, and I'll do a 20-minute riff on cheese puns.
And then there are a lot of cheese puns.
Then they're in.
Yeah. At some point in my life, I'm not sure exactly when, but I got this idea that I really wanted to open a cheese shop, and that it should be named Que Sera Fromage.
Que Sera Fromage.
Que Sera Fromage.
I love that. That's great.
And it doesn't really mean anything in French. Whatever will be. Cheese.
Yeah.
But it's got the right number of syllables as que sera, sera.
Sure.
And I just have always thought it was hilarious.
I think that must exist. That should be. You got to make that happen if it doesn't already, if it's not already out there. The world needs que sera fromage.
Isn't that a good name?
Yeah.
And again, this is the last thing. Back to the branding thing. If you see that that's the name of a cheese shop,
okay,
you're going to remember it. You'll probably laugh, and sure, you'll get curious, like, what the hell are these people doing?
Yeah.
And that is a good name. That's why Brandon Burkhardt is not that good, because nobody sees it and says, who is that guy?
No.
See, at least with Denzel, people just think I'm black, and then they see me, and I don't really look black, but they don't know what ethnicity I am, mm-hmm, and they get very confused, and then that makes them curious.
Yeah.
And that's the beginning of something. Or they might just say, oh, that guy's a dick, and, you know, beat me up in the parking lot, which is...
Well, that's why you should move to D.C., and you could be Denzel Washington.
You would be surprised how many people call me, introduce me as Denzel Washington.
Really?
Well, he's famous, and, you know... He's the only other Denzel that people know. So I've had friends that I've known for years introduce me someplace and say, oh, this is my good friend Denzel Washington. And the new person looks at me and they obviously say, no.
Their brain is, it's like when I called Sylvester the Cat Sylvester Stallone, because I went to the first famous Sylvester.
Yeah. Well, I wish I could blame that on your bad upbringing or your drug or alcohol problem or your therapist's giving you lots of medication, but you don't do any of those things. So you have no good excuse.
Well, there was a time I got hit in the face with a pie. That's still...
Did it have an anvil in it?
It had a metaphorical anvil. It's weighing me down still.
Now we finally cracked it. Well, I would like to thank you, my dear guest, moth, stage, storyteller, etc., Brangelino.
Yes. That's me now.
Brangelino. No, I think that you should test it. Do a little test marketing.
Okay.
Get it like a t-shirt with just this hashtag Brangelino.
Okay.
Let me know what happens. Brandon Burkhardt. At Twitter at Burkhardt Brandon.
Yes.
No underscore.
No.
Check out the Brangelino. Thanks, Brandon, for coming in this week. If you'd like to buy a Comedy Death Star coffee mug, you can email me at comedydeathstar@acsdigital.tv. Dylan Vigil is our producer and engineer. Our theme music was written and performed by Dean Mermel. You're going to really like the theme music if you actually listen to this ever.
Awesome. Well.
You've been listening to Comedy Death Star, the official podcast of Actors Comedy Studio, right here in Hollywood, USA. I'm your host, Denzel Myers. Thanks for listening. We will be back next week. Brandon, thanks again.
Thanks. That was awesome.
We're out.